Speaking of creativity, is the epileptic brain uniquely creative, uniquely artistic perhaps? My next guest's personal experience and research might suggest so. Might art even have a diagnostic role here? Epilepsy really has long been misunderstood and often maligned as a neurological condition. Thankfully, we have moved on from the time when people with epileptic seizures were thought to be under the spell of demonic possession. A former attorney, life took a radical turn for Dr. Jim Chambliss, now an award-winning artist. He'd never made art before he developed epilepsy, and now his unique PhD research has given birth to an exhibition, Epilepsy, Perception, Imagination and Change, on at the University of Melbourne's Cultural Treasures Festival this weekend. And he joins us this morning on Life Matters. Welcome, Jim.
Hello.
Tell me, what especially inspired your own exploration into this juncture between art and medicine, which is what you've delved into in your PhD?
My inspiration was my personal experience of discovering a creative talent and a more visual and creative mindset. After I discovered that, I became quite curious as to why that occurred and started looking at some of the patterns that were shared by other people thought to have had epilepsy in the past and people living with epilepsy.
This is a long way from your life as a lawyer, isn't it? You didn't always have epilepsy. Perhaps you can tell us what happened.
I acquired epilepsy as a result of a brain injury. After the brain injury, I was having complex partial seizures, which I didn't recognize what they were. I'm also photosensitive, meaning that certain light patterns can trigger a seizure, not so much now that I'm on medication. But I was at a Christmas party one night. I had an olfactory hallucination, which was a gross, burning, rubbish type of a smell. So I excused myself from the person I was talking to, stood up, and the next thing I remember was someone saying, "Do you know your name? Do you know where you are? And do you know what happened?" So I had a seizure, fell on my face, and had partial amnesia, difficulty remembering names and the laws I had learned in school. So that changed my life quite significantly.
How significantly?
Well, I saw over the year, two, 3 years of recovery that my law practice just eroded.
Because really your brain had changed fundamentally, hadn't it, at that time?
It had. I had had trouble remembering things, processing what I read, what I heard for a while. My math skills and spelling skills dropped.
But I think this actually, in you, ignited this sense that you needed to make art. Tell us about that very strong feeling, that impulse.
Well, there are a couple of impulses that can come with the behavioral changes of epilepsy. There's what's called hypergraphia, and that's a compulsive tendency to write or make art in great detail. And also with epilepsy, there are what I call intrinsic perceptions, which are visual illusions, pseudo-hallucinations, and experiences that are triggered by epilepsy that are quite unique and rare. And it's the novelty that is what makes art more creative.
And I'll come to those intrinsic perceptions because they've been fundamental in your conversations with over 100 artists with epilepsy. This has formed the basis of your PhD work and this exhibition that Melburnians can see. What were you exploring in your early art? What did you make? What did you create?
Part of my art was about my own experiences. I was quite curious as to what happened to my brain. I also needed to cope a bit with the changes in my life, so some of my work became about that.
Tell us about some of that artwork, though. How did you represent this experience?
I have a sculpture called Discovering the Source, which is a ceramic sculpture you may have seen in the advertisement for the exhibition.
Is this the wonderful brain on a kind of a rock?
That's correct. It's made entirely of ceramics, including the tools that are with it, made that are made to look like the hammer and carving tool. And the brain itself is enlarged. It's encased in a stone, which is a metaphor for how difficult it is to understand the brain and to find a way to heal the neurological impairment.
Mm. What did making art help you make sense of?
It helped me make sense of my new creative awakening. It also helped in a cathartic way.
Because life had changed so fundamentally, and this has prompted really what became a whole unique research effort, unique in the world, I think, to interview artists who have epilepsy about their work. Were there themes that came up again and again for you in those conversations?
The themes that came up were where people had experienced things that were rather dreamlike and highly imaginative and surreal. It may be something that came entirely from within one's mind and brain, which was incredibly unique. It may also be how the brain altered what a person perceived and what they saw or what they felt.
Mm. So what did you want to, what research problem did you set yourself? What were the questions that you were interested in probing?
We started out probing how you could use art as a diagnostic and interpretive tool. That was of interest to me because when I had the first seizure and ended up in the hospital, the neurologist did not pick up on the fact that I had epilepsy. He noticed some sharp transient spikes, or one of them, but disregarded that. A few months later, I had an automobile accident and ran off the road. So I lived through that, but it was another set of injuries. It made me more curious if there are ways in detecting in how a person behaves, writes, or even paints or draws that can help doctors have some sign that they should do further testing. Mm. That's particularly of interest because with the more common type of epilepsy being temporal lobe epilepsy, it's very often not picked up on an EEG and can't be seen in an MRI.
Why is that?
Well, if you're using the traditional EEG, there are electrodes that are on top of the brain. The part of the brain which is emanating the most misfiring of electrical impulses is down toward the bottom. So the area that it's probing, it can be comparable to listening to a conversation in the next room on the other side of the room.
Mm.
So very often, neurologists don't pick up on that.
Which makes for a very confusing experience for their patients, I imagine, if they don't know what's going on. Your particular focus has been more on those who are inclined to focal epilepsy. Just describe for us the distinction between focal and general epilepsy.
Generalized epilepsy is essentially where the...
Generalized, beg your pardon, yeah.
Yeah, where the whole brain shuts down or it malfunctions at once. Focal epilepsy is usually where there is a scar or limited area of the brain that's damaged that can lead to misfiring of electrical impulses that spread throughout the brain and synthesize the different thought processes. And it can be transient in just a matter of seconds. When that happens, that's where you can produce the very complex intrinsic perceptions where you have a culmination of many, many facets of thought that are blended together instantaneously.
Mm. So in terms of the works in this exhibition and the works of artists that you've spoken to, are there works that have particularly stand out for you, perhaps that we can talk about?
Some of the work that was most fascinating to me was the art of a participant who doesn't mind me saying his name. He is Howard Smith out of Geelong. It's really of interest to me because he allowed us, through another study, to actually take images of his brain functioning. That occurred while he was drawing, so I could see some of the parallels between how the brain functioned and how it could influence art.
And what did you see?
Well, what we saw was an intensification of color, an altered shape in how he perceived things, and his drawings became more surreal and dreamlike. We started with an instruction to draw something that he perceived during his seizures or leading up to his seizures. It's the time really leading up to seizures and in between seizures that we saw were the greatest changes in art, because when a person's having a seizure, they're not functioning to a point they can draw. So he was having, while he was alert and conscious, what are called ventricular discharges, where it's just 2 seconds or less, the brain will misfire. And that happened in a large part of his left hemisphere. So in the first drawing, he showed what was perceived. The second drawing, I asked him to draw a picture of someone's face that he recognized, and that became distorted and surreal. And in the third drawing, we asked him to draw simple geometric figures. And once again, those became very surreal and creature-like, but still that contained the geometric elements.
Now, this is only one artist. Are there general conclusions that you've drawn from your analysis of the work of, well, over 100 artists?
The conclusions are, in comparing the drawings in a creativity test of people with epilepsy to their family members, there was a significantly high increased level of creativity. We chose family members because they're the closest in genetic background and also environmental background. We also looked at their artworks and had an art therapist interpret those. We even had the artists fill out surveys and do interviews so we could confirm that everything that I observed and she observed was valid. Mm. And when they did their confirmation, we had some very interesting findings of just how common it was for people to take the intrinsic perceptions that they had as a result of epilepsy, then to include that into their artworks. And we saw those type of intrinsic perceptions also end up in the creativity test. So we had a very clear link to epilepsy and creativity.
Which is interesting indeed. And I mean, those intrinsic perceptions, just remind us of some of those, of examples of those.
Okay, well, first of all, it can be a complex intrinsic perceptions, and that is comparable to a pseudo-hallucination. I call it pseudo because a person will actually be conscious and able to remember and later depict that imagery in art. And that can be something that's dreamlike or surreal. And it's quite complex usually, and it's distinguishable in many occasions from what someone may do in doing a surreal artwork, being it copied off of something else or pieced together from images. It's very integrated, as if a person was living the experience.
Mm, some of these works are quite trippy and otherworldly, aren't they? And I guess there can be a stigmatizing assumption here sometimes too, that if you have epilepsy, you must somehow be an artist, you must be more creative, and people with mental illness celebrate this but also are stigmatised by this assumption. It can risk romanticising what can be quite a disabling experience.
It does have the tendency, if you have, say, what's called a numinous aura, which is an impulse of a religious or spiritual enlightenment that can be quite unique, that a person may perceive oneself as a shaman, or as having an epiphany, or being where they saw something very frightful. And with the symptoms of epilepsy, sometimes it can trigger an intense fear without any external cause. And that is one of the things that can make artworks look uncomfortable for others to view.
Mm. How might all this, do you think, be better used to better understand epilepsy? Do you feel that there's an extension to this work beyond the exhibition and your PhD?
I'm currently extending it and working with Melbourne Medical School. We're doing a workshop and a pilot study associated with the art exhibition. So one of the things we're doing is to help medical students interpret art and be able to see some of the signature traits of epilepsy in the works that they view. We're also using the artworks to help them better understand the patient so they increase their empathy toward the individual, not just because of the neurological condition, but also because of the emotional aspects and the psychosocial impacts of a person.
Absolutely crucial work. How interesting to talk to you, Jim Chambliss. Thank you and congratulations on the exhibition. Good luck with it this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Jim Chambliss, the exhibition is Epilepsy, Perception, Imagination and Change. On at the University of Melbourne's Cultural Treasures Festival. Lots of stuff happening this weekend and it's free. We'll link to it on our website and I would really love to hear from you. If you have epilepsy, what do you think of Jim's observations with his work? Get on our Facebook page. I'll pop a post up there a little later in the morning and we'd love to hear from you. Or you can get on our website. Perhaps you have a story to tell as an artist with epilepsy.